from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
We'd love to have Ken back.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's Ken Walker being the MVP. Let's go! He tried negotiating with me 5 minutes ago. It was really weird.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Kenneth Walker III is a Kansas City Chief.
That's what I was hearing was a rumor.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears. Plus, latest news and more. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, please stay on hold. We will get right to you. We've got more than enough time before we get out of Dodge on this Tuesday. Not nearly as much action today as there was yesterday. That always makes sense in an NFL free agency. But we are waiting for some other shoes to drop. Trey Hendrickson, Kyler Murray, just to name two. Albert Breer was on in hour number 2, giving us some 2 cents on what's already happened, what could be to come. Also, A.J. Brown, is it possible that he does get traded? It appears it's either, according to Breer, New England or not at all. If you missed anything, there's our podcast, all 3 hours available wherever you get them. Also, there is the Disney Plus page. As soon as we're done, this show lives on it whenever you want to watch it back. All 3 hours sit right there. There's also our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. He's one of our favorites from NFL Live, giving him a shot to chime in here on everything that's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Spears back on the program. How you doing, Marcus? Sure. What's going on?
What's up? What's up, Rich? What's up, man? I'm at a place called World Springs right now.
Okay.
It's like a bunch of like cold tubs and saunas and all type of stuff. So it's a little bit different, you know, background setting. But my son had to come here with his basketball team after practice for recovery.
Okay.
So I decided I'm going to get in the sauna and I'll do Rich Eisen from World Springs. This here I am, brother.
You're talking my language, saunas and spas and things of that nature. I don't ski. I'm an après skier. Actually, I'm a gold medalist at that. If après ski was an Olympic sport, nobody's touching me.
I'm
with you. Which is the move that you, out of all of them on Monday where you're like, or even the weekend, where you're like, that's the one. I would have done that,
Rich,
too. What do you got?
Rich.
Yeah.
Max Crosby. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would say it, but one, I'm going to go to the other side and talk about how happy I am for Max Crosby to actually play with a contender so now people can see how good he really is in impactful games. And obviously, you expect the Baltimore Ravens to be in the playoffs as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And they needed to bolster their pass rush. They needed that type of mentality on defense to kind of bring that old thing back for the Baltimore Ravens. So Max getting out of the situation with the Raiders, even though I think they're going to start progressing here and being able to go and play for a contender, now he'll be able to put them talents on display on TV a lot, and people will get a great appreciation for how good he really is as a football player, let alone how impactful he is during games.
How do you think that jolts a locker room, Marcus?
I think it changes the dynamic. I mean, once you have a cornerstone, which I believe Max Crosby is, along with the guys that were there, Kyle Hamilton obviously still being there, and then you got your cornerstone in Lamar Jackson. You got a new ushering in of a new crew with the Baltimore Ravens from a coaching staff, Jesse Minter. Like, it just makes total sense that both of these guys will carry the banner for each side of the football. They two leaders, they two uber competitors. I'm talking about Lamar and Max. And they probably align on a lot of things about how you go about trying to win games. So I just think it's a perfect match for especially for a new crew coming into Baltimore with the expectations of being Super Bowl champions.
So with Micah getting his exit visas from Dallas, and that's a totally different story. As you know, we spent, every day in August, your show, my show, every show, talking about it. And him being in Green Bay and getting paid and now seeing Max do this. Do you think if Myles Garrett could wave a wand, he would have stuck to his "I don't want to play for Cleveland anymore" stance?
Marcus? Yeah, I think he should have. I think he should have kept his stance and "I don't want to play for Cleveland." Because, look, Rich, it comes to a point. What else can Myles Garrett give the Cleveland Browns? Like just from a football standpoint, what else could he possibly do in order to try to help this team win games than what he's done already? He's been that good that they've at times been able to win games or be in games in the fourth quarter because of his talent alone, right? And that organization has a responsibility to players like that, in my opinion, and I never was that type of guy, but they have a responsibility to players like that to try to position themselves to win championships and at least give him a window of a few years where he would have an opportunity. Myles Garrett plays in a division with Joe Burrow, who's been to a Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson, who's made deep playoff runs, the Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously, and the success that they've had, but even just getting into the playoffs as much as they've done. And Myles Garrett is home every offseason trying to figure out what's next for his football team. What's the moves that'll be made in order to try to put us in a situation where we can win games? And could you imagine Myles Garrett playing for a true contender? Could you imagine the type of conversation we would be having about him? We would, Rich, think about this. If Myles Garrett played for a contender the last 4 or 5 years, y'all, let me see Rich when I say this because I want to see his reaction. Myles Garrett would be in the conversation for being the best defensive player to ever play football if he played for a contender. Whew. Based on what he's been doing at that position and how dominant he's been. He would be in the Lawrence Taylor, the Deion Sanders conversation with, is this the greatest guy that we've seen play this position? And the fact that he's played with a team that just doesn't put that on display. Rich, think about the coverage we give to the playoffs. Think about the Super Bowl. Think about the things. Think about Aaron Donald and the conversations that he was in because of the success that his team had. So, yes, individually, we know Myles Garrett is one of the best players to ever do it. But if he had those platforms, those opportunities to play in those type of games, those meaningful games that everybody's paying attention to, where the viewership is 30 to 40 million plus, and people could see 95 on display like that, we would be having a conversation of, is he arguably going to end up being the best defensive player to ever play in the NFL? We can't get there, though, because he's playing for the Cleveland Browns.
And, you know, not to kick Ohio teams when they're down, but being a Wolverine, you know, these things happen. Joe Burrow, what he must be thinking, right? And but he has played in some meaningful games, though, as a Bengal, right? Things were, corners being turned. Now, Hendrickson is going to go somewhere else. They did get Boye Mafe. But here does come Max Crosby in a division that he already has to see T.J. Watt twice, and also has Myles Garrett twice. What do you think's going through Burrow's mind? Because he could be sitting here thinking the same thing that you just described to potentially what Garrett's thinking.
Well, here's my challenge to the Cincinnati Bengals, Rich. If offense was going to win you a Super Bowl and continuously keep you in the playoffs, you would be in the playoffs every single year when Joe Burrow is healthy, right? That's another issue that has to get corrected. His availability needs to become more pressing and more prevalent than it's been. But ultimately, we know where their issues lie, too. Defensively, if this team was middle of the pack last year, they would have made the playoffs. And Joe Burrow in the playoffs, to me, is still one of the scariest things that anybody can face on a road to trying to win a Super Bowl. But unfortunately, this saga with Trey Hendrickson has been going on for 3 years. I rang the alarm 3 years ago, and the Cincinnati Bengals fans lost their mind. Talking about, no, you don't know nothing. Look, he re-signed back. I said, look, man, this is a tumultuous relationship that is not in good standing. And I knew that because Rich, you know how connected we are. And I'm not talking about front office people, or I'm not at Adam Schefter. I'm connected to players. They talk because I'm never going to divulge any information that they give me, but I get the feeling and the tone and tenure of a lot of these teams in the NFL when it comes to certain individuals and certain players. But for Trey, he had publicly talked about how disparaging it was, the contract negotiation and the things that they were trying to get done. If you, Joe Burrow, and you just listed off the guys that are in this division now from a defensive standpoint, and you have obviously T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and offensively y'all put up these guarding numbers, it's going to be about stops for the Cincinnati Bengals. And whether they can or can't do that is going to determine how far they actually can go in their division. And that's why, Rich Eisen, you are who you are, because you got to get out of your division before we start talking about playoffs. Mm-hmm. And right now, if you look at Cincinnati, they're the third best team in their division, right? The second best team in their division based on talent from an offensive standpoint. If you can't play in the defense, though, it's going to hinder you like it did last year. And I think Joe Burrow in that offense is good enough to carry the load a lot of the times, but at times they're going to have to step up. And to their credit, they did start to play a little bit better at the end of the year last year. And you could see remnants of why this team could be really, really good when Joe is on and available and pushing the football down the field and doing the things that they were doing. But defensively, they are going to have to get better fast in order to keep this window open for Joe Burrow.
Marcus Spears here on the Rich Eisen Show from ESPN NFL Live and Monday Night Football, so much more here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, Alec Pierce, Mike Evans, Kenneth Walker the third. What else we got? I'll even throw Tyler Lindebaum in here.
Lindebaum.
Or Tua out, Malik Willis in, and damn the salary cap torpedoes. Which offensive move from Monday did you like the most, Marcus?
It was Malik. Huh. A lot of familiarity where he's going, obviously. Coaches that drafted him, coaches that were a part of the process when he was in Tennessee, obviously the coaching prowess from Green Bay. I think Malik showed. Now, here's what you don't want. You don't want that to be an anomaly where he stepped in that time for Jordan Love and looked like he looked, because that is what everybody in Miami is excited about. The fact that he played at the level in which he played in time off, and it didn't look like the playbook was shrunken. It didn't look like they had the coach around him. And Rich, a lot of times when you get these backups, right, and you see them play, you have to change a few things, or some things have to, you know, you gotta cut back in what you want to do as far as throwing the ball downfield, or you gotta curtail a lot of y'all offense, because usually it's usually a precipitous drop off when you got your second guy going in. Malik played damn near elite in his little time. Matt LaFleur stayed aggressive. He used his legs, the run game. He looked like he had full command of the offense. He understood where he was going with the football. He used multiple weapons. He moved the ball around. I thought what he showed was quarterbacking, not some fly-by-night, oh, I'm about to play and people can't scout for me, so I'm going to have a good game, because that happens with a lot of backups as well. I think Malik is ready to take care of to become what people thought he could be coming out of the draft. I think development is taking place. Obviously, when you see him now going to Miami with a whole new, it's his team, it's his job. They didn't have to overpay for him in some crazy way. I thought the contract was great. I like Malik Willis a lot. The next one is Mike Evans. But if Mike can stay healthy, we obviously know what Kyle Shanahan can do from an offensive standpoint. We know how much that'll ease things for Brock Purdy, but I would be as excited about that. It's just Mike has missed a lot of time with these injuries. So if he can be available for the San Francisco team for majority of the season, it can be a problem for everybody else in that division. And that division is damn good.
Marcus Spears here on the Rich Eisen Show. $281 million in total contract dollars given out by the Raiders on Monday. It's a lot of money.
Rich, do they have some left over for us? Is it anything we can do for the Raiders?
I'm going to have my guys look into that. Would you guys mind looking into that? Any Davis dollars
something.
Left for
something
for Swagoo, for his podcast, or anything like that? Okay, very good. So the reason why I bring this up is part of that was N'Kobe Dean going there. Yeah. A lot of defensive additions. Yep. There's a cupboard's pretty bare there. My colleague from NFL Network, or soon to be our colleagues altogether.
Yeah.
And right, we're all going to be one big happy team shortly by the end of this month. Jane Slater, she tweeted out that the Cowboys were all in on Dean as well, but ultimately he went with his gut feeling, but was told he could have seen himself in both places. It was a close margin, but the Raiders won this one. Now I want to see your face. There it is. Marcus, floor is yours.
You know, First of all, I'm a big fan of N'Kobe Dean since Georgia.
Yep.
And I'm going to be a little bit reserved, Rich, because my team has finally stepped into free agency and like we gonna do something, right? Supplementing your football team through free agents that are proven helps you win championships. And that's the scream I've had about Jerry and how they've operated. But I have to give them full credit for what they've already done. And I don't think the moves are done being made. You see the restructuring of the contracts. You see the move for the safety out of Arizona. You think about Rashawn Gary, even though he didn't have a great ending to the season, maybe a revitalized guy, Quinnen Williams last year. Dallas has done some tremendous things. So this will be the first offseason, Rich, that you don't hear Marcus Spears say Dallas is not trying to win a championship or Jerry is not trying to win a championship. The moves that have been made have been leaning in that direction of being all in. I talked to Dak last year at the Pro Bowl. Well, this past Pro Bowl.
Yes.
While we were in San Fran, and I said, Dak, I want to see you in L.A. He said, man, bank on it. And I said, as long as the old man makes some moves defensively, we have an opportunity to actually be in the mix and make it to L.A. for a Super Bowl. Rich, if you know me, if you watch me, you know I am very, very, very even keel when it comes to Dallas, outside of when I'm cheering for them in actual games. I've been super critical of them. I've talked about what they haven't been doing in order to try to position themselves to win a championship. I love what Schottenheimer did as a head coach last year. Offensively, you know, they've tagged Pickens, and defensively, they've made some moves already, and I don't think that's going to be the end of it. I'm very excited about what we've been doing this offseason. And yes, I say a week.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel the same way about N'Kobe Dean too, right?
Yeah.
And we have no idea what personal decisions are made, but
he would have been great. He would have been perfect. I just don't want to I don't want to cry over spilled milk.
Exactly. Well, I mean, they tried for Max Crosby. You got to give it up for that. They tried for N'Kobe Dean. You got to give it up for that. Rashawn Gary's outstanding. And if you look at that defensive line, last year it was Micah. Who knows, you know, how much we're going to pay him and whatever was going on beneath the surface, behind the scenes there, him in the locker room or whatever. Micah's
out. He's shaping to be a good one.
I mean, no doubt. Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary. And having don't forget Odigizua.
Right. And draft capital in your back pocket for future consideration. That's not too bad, man.
That's not bad, man. I mean, pass rush was an issue last year.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, it got better as the season went along. You saw it change when Quinnen showed up. But Dallas got to get stops. We need a better secondary and people that can get after the passer. And I think that offense is still going to be really, really good this year. Getting Williams back. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about running backs, but Javonte signing back with Dallas was big. He had a phenomenal year last year that kind of flew under the radar because Dak and George and, you know, obviously CD play so well. But you know, there is a lot to be optimistic about now with Dallas based on the moves that they made defensively. And I think it's going to be something to reckon with. Rich, we got an alert. Did you see that alert?
What's the alert? What do we got?
I think Geno going to the Jets.
What do you think?
Back home. Geno, they wrote back, Geno.
They
wrote back.
They did finally write back. He finally got a response. Got lost in the mail. I know.
I think I can be optimistic. I hate that Geno had the type of season he had last year. It looked awful, but coming out of Seattle, the excitement. I was at the Pro Bowl with Geno Smith as he played his way into that a few years ago. So hopefully they can get some of that, and maybe it's a better offensive fit and all of that type of stuff. So
yeah,
good for Geno, man.
I agree. Good for Geno. And I'll use the same line I used last hour when it was possible.
You saw Dobbs just went to New England?
Look at you.
The news is coming in.
Hey, look at you. Marcus, I feel like I'm Pat, and I got my ESPN guy here doing a free agency show. You know what I mean?
I got you, brother. I got you, man.
We
got
to get you out of your ashram or wherever you are and get you in my studio next time.
Hey, I'm going to pull up, man. I can't wait to sit in that seat, brother. You've had my brother Andrew Whitworth, I got jealous because he got in there before me. So
come on out.
I'm going to pull up on you, Rich.
Look, please do so. I love having you on. I love talking football with you.
Same, man.
You make me smarter. So great.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your time here and your 2 cents. And go hang with your kid. Thanks for tapping out of that for a bit.
Y'all take care, brother. Appreciate it.
There's Marcus Spears, everybody. M. Spears 96, Swagoo Podcast, everything from ESPN and more. He's breaking all that news. You know I'm going to react to Geno going back to the Jets. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. If you're like me and my family, you're all about creating amazing memories while on vacation. And for me, many of those have involved a home we found on Airbnb. We had such great experiences that whenever we travel somewhere new, we always check Airbnb first to find a place that fits our needs. The homes we've stayed in, comfortable, safe, private. You feel like you're part of the community. After a long day of exploring or sitting on a beach, it really is nice to come back to a place you can call your own. Airbnb is also a great way, if you want, to earn some extra money while you're traveling or out of your house for an extended period of time. You can make your home work for you while you're away. Not as a full-time thing, not as some big production, just something that fits into trips you're already taking. You can use the money for that dream vacation or put that money towards that outdoor kitchen you always wanted. Hosting on Airbnb just feels smart. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. Or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. All right, let's go to Al in Dallas. What's up, Albert? How you been, buddy?
Geno Smith. Wow.
I know. I'll get to that in a second. What's on your mind?
Well, listen, I love the fact that Spears is in there schwitzing and just breaking the NFL knowledge all over the place.
I love him. Marcus is great. Marcus Spears is awesome. Yeah. Yep.
That was excellent. So, you know, unfortunately, the Ohio State University has been in the news for a couple of different reasons, but we won't go into it. But the cornerback sounds like he's got a little bit of a leg injury. So, you know, that was the kid that I wanted my team to snatch up if he's there. But if he's not, you know, if he's not 100%, I have no problem with my man, you know, telling everybody he loves him some Jeremiah Love and see who comes knocking on the door.
I know. Unfortunately, Al, that was my idea before the combine because I was into Jeremiah Love not making it to 8 or 9 before the combine. Coming out of the combine, I was also talking about the Giants should make noise that he's not getting past us at 5.
He may
not get past the Titans at 4. You take a look at what the Titans' moves of what they've done. They took Wandale Robinson off your team. But the running back room, by the way, is not bad at all. I believe Tony Pollard is still there, and Tajay Spears is still there. But adding Jeremiah Love to that mix is not out of the realm. And, you know, I've got Cam Scataboo scheduled to appear tomorrow. I don't know if that would be a Sonic and Knuckles. I know Tyrone Tracy's still sitting there.
Wait. You're not seriously talking about drafting a running back at five for the New York Football Giants.
Why not?
No, please.
Why not? I mean, you could go another wide receiver, obviously. If Carnell Tate's sitting there, I think that's what you do. But
yeah, I trust in Harbaugh, I trust, so I don't care. But like the drafting of Jeremiah Love, I if he gets taken before us, I think it's a good issue, right? It's a good problem. You take the best available. For us, you take the best, you get the most value for what you do. I don't have a problem. I'm not second guessing these.
You're gonna get great
these
pick.
Things, but I just loved it. And I'd be remiss to say one other thing, Richard, if you don't mind. I mean, sure. We're almost there. I've had the joy, my daughter's attending the University of Arkansas. And she's been going to 8 or 9 basketball games. This Darius A. Cup, I know you haven't talked about it, but if you get to watch this kid play at all, oh, my God, what an NBA player this kid's going to be. And he can make a long run in the tournament, hopefully. But.
We'll see. We'll see. That's just right around the corner. Championship weekend is this weekend. We'll see how many there's always these mid-major small school players.
Hofstra, did you see that last night, Rich?
That I did not. I missed all of that. I was watching World Baseball. I was watching Aaron Judge tell Paul Skeens what a great teammate he is. So
Hofstra got into the finals of the last second three-pointer. They're in the finals of whatever conference they're in. I can't remember.
But, they're going to win conference. That's going to be great.
The Flying Dutchman. The Flying Dutchman.
The automatic bid from the whatever conference is a very coveted automatic bid.
The forget about it conference, that's right?
Yeah, Alan Dallas, everybody.
Colonial Athletic.
Thank you for giving them the respect that they deserve. Listen, the Big Ten Player of the Year is Yaxel Lendeborg. And he was on UAB last year. So there's going to be somebody like that for that team that's going to be what? The dreaded 12 seed, the dreaded 10 seed. I mean, it's coming. It's coming.
12
it's
right always the corner, wins. 11.
Right around the corner. We're going to all fill out our brackets, even though we have no – it's one big fat dart throw. It's going to be great. And then we're going to be like, oh, who's best? And Del Tufo's going to do it. He's going to show up for the first time in 3 weeks with his big toothy grin and talk about how he knows college basketball more than anybody because he works faders for games that he doesn't remember who's playing. So that's going to be great. That's part of our madness. Did I nail it, Chris? Did any words I just say false?
No.
Okay, thank you.
The only thing false are his teeth.
Oh, God, look at you. I tried to.
Wow.
Hey, listen, that man's got.
He paid a lot of money for those.
Veneers for days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
One of our favorites.
They're expensive.
Duke all the way.
But and by the way, that's where he's going to be because, I don't blame him for hating my team. He's a Seton Hall guy. So he's got legit reasons to still be angry at me.
Real beef.
I got it.
40-year beef.
40-year beef, by the way. That's great. It's aged. That's right. As you know, beef's great when it's aged.
Straight aged.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Listen.
Give us what we want.
Oh, I'll give you what you want. Crazy things happen in this world in sports. You can't make it up. And I know all about it. The fact that I'm sitting here on anything remotely close to ESPN, I got an email the other day from ESPN Human Resources, welcoming me to ESPN.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, because, it's the end of this month. My long-standing run as being an NFL employee comes to an end.
Oh.
I am sad about it. I know you're having your fun with it. You went through that, but I've been there since 2003.
Okay. It was great.
For me to, I saw this email, and I'm like, welcome to ESPN. You're basically coming from NFL Network to ESPN. We're welcoming you. Let's talk. We're going to have meetings and all this sort of thing. I'm like, if you showed me this, say on my wedding day with Susie, when we were sitting there 10 days removed with me getting thrown that curveball of a cardboard box in Bristol, it's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why you never burn a bridge, kids. And you just keep your head down and you just go about your business and you never know. You might be back in that spot. Geno Smith's a Jet again. And I can't believe it.
Neither can he, I'm sure.
Okay. I can't believe it. He probably can't believe it. He's older and wiser than the last time he was there, which means he understands, you know, when he's back in that locker room, what sort of leadership he's going to have to provide, and he's ready to do it this time. And maybe, just again, he should wear a red jersey walking around in there. Because you never know what might happen and who might take over. And it was Ryan Fitzpatrick that time. And it didn't work out for him in New York. And it's kind of like the football gods have kind of had it in for this guy in a way. Because it's how you're born into the league and how you're surrounded in this league. And you take a look at him falling to the second round in this draft is kind of crazy. I'm looking at the quarterback draft class of 2013.
Oh, that was a big shock that he fell.
EJ Manuel got chosen first out of any quarterback. The Buffalo Bills grabbed him 16th overall. Geno lasted till the next night.
Geno put up big numbers at West Virginia, too.
I know he did. The other quarterbacks taken in this draft class, Mike Glennon. Warren Sapp famously called on NFL Game Day morning once Mick Glennon, like he was, you know, two all beef patties with special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions.
Sesame seed bun, yeah.
Matt Barkley, Ryan Nassib, everybody. Landry Jones, Tyler Wilson, Tyler Bray was undrafted by the Chiefs. And there's Geno. And he's still around, and everybody else is not in the league by a long shot. We all know it didn't work out for him there, and he starts bouncing around the league. He's actually even winds up on the Giants. Eli Manning's first benching, his streak of consecutive starts. Ben, don't call me Bob McAdoo benched him for this guy. It's weird, wild what's been happening with Geno Smith in his entire career. Wound up with the Chargers. Then he goes to Seattle to back up Russ, who doesn't miss a start himself. He finally gets a shot in 2022, and he wins Comeback Player of the Year award, and that's where he famously said, you know, they wrote me off, but I never wrote back. And he wins the Comeback Player of the Year award, even though he wasn't injured. He came back from everything I just mentioned. They benched, I think, essentially after Flacco then won it from coming back from the couch, they changed the rules to say you can't vote for anybody anymore that hasn't been injured coming back from an injury and rehab. That's the sensibility of surrounding this award, right? And again, that red jersey stuff, I was joking. Just Google it. Look it up. You can't make it up. It's typical Jets stuff. Yeah. So now here he is after he winds up in Vegas for Pete Carroll again. It's a disastrous year for everyone involved. Absolutely everyone involved. And they're resetting. We all understand who's coming in first overall. So Geno now goes to New York where he's going to start. He's going to start. It's not going to be Justin Fields' gig. I don't even know if he's going to be on this team after tomorrow. Maybe he does stick around. I have no idea what the Jets' plan is going to do or going to be. Everything right now is to save their powder for next year's draft, where there's going to be tons of young quarterbacks coming out of college, including your guy, Arch Manning, and yada, yada, yada. We'll see if the Manning family pulls it again, except this time it won't benefit a New York team. Google that too, about Eli's drafting. My nephew, how he wound up in New York. And so the Jets need a bridge. They need a bridge. And there's many bridges in New York.
Not to say there's the Brooklyn
Bridge. There's the George Washington Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Verrazano Bridge, the Whitestone Bridge.
Gothels.
There's so many. Well, I mean, that's New York, New Jersey, but
that's fine.
That is a good new jet hybrid right there. Many bridges. There's a new bridge, the Geno Smith Bridge. And more likely than not, there will be no easy pass. by any stretch.
Stop at the toes. We got easy.
Because these things don't usually work out easily unless Frank Reich comes in. Here's Breece Hall healthy.
I love
you. I mean, there are ways where the Jets can do some things if the Geno of Seattle shows up. The Geno of Vegas, where he's not protected and the run game isn't supporting, and he's standing back there, it's entirely possible that could happen again. I don't wish it on Geno. I don't wish it on anybody in that organization at all. If that happens, they've got a better shot at a better young quarterback like the Arch Manning of the world. And if it works out better, then yeah, they're not tanking properly, but they're at least winning with somebody that Jets fans can remember. Listen, Jets fans are just going to have to swallow it. They just got to swallow this reality. Just have to swallow it that didn't think going into a season with a new coach and Aaron Glenn, Bill Parcells' first draft choice and totally remaking the franchise is going to show up. And here's Garrett Wilson and here's Breece Hall, and they're going to go in a battle with Justin Fields and see what that young guy can do with Quinnen Williams and Sauce on defense. And here we go. And Sauce is gone and Quinnen is gone and Breece Hall is franchised and Garrett Wilson led the team in receiving with 400 yards receiving. And now we're all needing to believe in a new general manager. We don't know from Adam trying to fill in these blanks with draft choices in the future. It's another reset, everybody. And here's Geno Smith as your quarterback. No Jet fan wanted that. No Jet fan saw it coming. No Jet fan thought it was possible. But here, Jet fans are. So, Geno's going to be your guy. He's one to root for. They got to protect him. Doesn't help that Elijah Vera Tucker is now a Patriot.
That's a shame.
But we'll see how they support him. We'll see how Breece Hall can shoulder a lot of the load again. And we'll see what they do in the draft. We'll see if the defense can be supported by whoever is second overall. And Geno has an opportunity to show that he still has it for a 2027 season in which he'll likely be somewhere else. Because the Jets have put all their powder in that draft for the next young buck. Geno Smith's a Jet again. Can't make it up.
That's crazy.
I'm going to be on. Geno Smith is a Jet. I'm going to be fully on ESPN.
It's wild.
This not just this show, but as of April 1st.
Wow.
I get my silver pass back. You can't make it up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on our program. Romeo Doubs is a Patriot. We'll hit on that. More of your phone calls before we get out of Dodge here on this Tuesday show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event right now. Get a deal. Get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong, because right now you can get great deals on our most popular models, including the adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid. There's the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. There's the bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. You want to go all electric? Check that box with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. Get down to your local Hyundai dealer right now and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. Okay. Romeo Doubs is a Patriot.
I like it.
All right. So they tried for Alec Pierce.
Yep.
There's, you never know what to believe anymore. Okay. You never know what to believe in. You fall for videos that aren't real. There's blue check marks that aren't blue check marks anymore. You have no idea what is real and what is not. Like, there was some stupid rumor that Pierce went with the Colts over the Patriots because he wanted to go with a situation where things were more stable. Which is like absurd.
Okay.
Positively absurd.
Yeah.
You know,
Kobe Dean going for the Raiders because he felt it.
Well, I mean, Jane Slater saying one. I know her check mark. That one I believe. But it can't be that. It just simply can't be that. I mean, who called Josh McDaniels being the cheat code? Chris Long did, right? Of Greenlight. two-time Super Bowl champ, called him the cheat code. Because if you have an offensive coordinator that isn't on a red-hot coaching list, coaching list, because he's already done it twice and flamed out both times, with all due respect, then it's absurd. You got Drake May, you got McDaniels, you got Vrabel. There's nothing more stable than that.
Right.
And Elliott Wolf, who's killing the draft since taking it over.
Fact.
Kraft family's not selling.
Nope.
Like, nothing's more stable than that. All right. That said, he's a good receiver.
Yeah.
He's a good receiver when he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a look at the list. Again, I'm constantly referring to the NFL Network list of who's available and who is not. He was fifth on the wide receiver free agent by positions list in terms of rankings. You could argue Romeo Doubs should be above Wandale Robinson. You could make that case. But Pierce, Shaheed, and Evans were 1, 2, and 3. Doubs is in front of Jennings and Debo. I mean, he's made some really tough catches in traffic, really big time catches for Green Bay. You know,
yeah. So he's only 25. Stephon Diggs was 32, who obviously, you know, was released. Could see him really operating in a similar fashion to how Diggs was used for New England this year.
Right.
Mina Kimes tweeted this out. Romeo Doubs was 12th in the league in yards per route run on 10 to 20 yard throws, tied with Stephon Diggs. Like, it's kind of just a Diggs plug and replace, 7 years younger. So obviously more upside there. I love it. Now go get A.J. Brown.
That's
and David Njoku, and let's rock.
The A.J. Brown stuff, well, Njoku is entirely possible, but because he's you could just pick up the phone and
yep.
say a number that he wants to hear, and he's let's yours. Dallas Goedert, too, by the way.
Also available.
But in terms of Brown, I mean, having spoken to Breer about it earlier, the Eagles don't have to trade him. It's like he's not standing there demanding one publicly. He might be saying something behind the scenes that's causing a rumble. But
seems likely.
The Eagles are 100% like, we don't have to do it. And the Patriots are like, we don't have to do it. I mean, we're interested in doing it. So there's a standoff. Like, it's just going to be a lot of blinking at each other until a need becomes an urgency. And right now, there's less of a need in New England, and there appears to be no need in Philadelphia. So that's how somebody doesn't go anywhere. Pretty much. I don't know what the Doubs numbers are.
There's some conflicting reports. It seems like it's in the 4 year between, you know, high 60s with an upside of $80 million.
Well, it just depends on what the APY and the guarantees are and things of that
nature. Yeah, it's all about the guarantees. Remember last year, Stephon Diggs was a three, almost 70, and it ended up being a one-year deal.
Right, for 20-something million bucks. Again, I've got all these lists here.
And he was awesome.
He's third on the list of largest free agent wide receiver contracts in NFL history in terms of an APY for a new team, behind Ridley and Adams, and then there's now Mike Evans in that regard. So it's a very smart replacement for Stephon Diggs.
Absolutely.
Younger.
Yep.
One assumes less off the field conversations
for
and
sure.
then let him grow old with Drake May and Booty.
Absolutely.
And Williams and Douglas. Hey, there were no posters, fatheads on the wall of the Patriots receivers until Randy Moss showed up.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, without a doubt.
And you were winning championships with the right mix of offense and situational brilliance and, of course, the trigger man. And then a kicker and a defense. And that's what the Patriots have just redone it. I mean, it's the same thing, right?
It's the same idea. Yeah, same idea.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody knew who a receiver was a New England until, you know, I guess Welker became somebody that everybody knew. And then there was Randy Moss. He was the outlier for Brady.
Yeah, Welker had a great 5-year run, you know, 110 catches in every year.
Didn't Brady, like back in his first run at it, it was always filled with, like, similar to what we see with the Bills and Josh Allen? If you got him
David
a
Patton.
Big time, right.
Yeah, it was those types of guys. And they go get Randy Moss, and
he catches.
He sets the touchdown record.
And Brady does the same.
50. Yeah.
And they don't lose a regular season game.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
And Eli got him anyway.
Well, Eli got the defense.
Okay.
Rodney Harrison.
This is part of the team.
Should keep Rodney Harrison out of the Hall of Fame, not knocking that.
I'm just pointing out they're building it in a very similar way.
And that worked out very
correct. Well. So if anybody's out there, well, Romeo Doubs not a big name guy. Didn't have to be back in the day either.
No one had ever heard. You know, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, who were these guys?
I'm just seeing all these other deals. They need to save their money for Christian Gonzalez because he is going to break the bank.
And he deserves every penny.
I know that.
he's going to get it.
He is going to break it. He's going to break it in two.
Yeah.
When it's his time.
Absolutely.
But where will he break the bank?
In New England. They're not letting him walk. That's it for this program. Thanks for joining us. Cam Scataboo on Wednesday's show. Join us for that.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.